Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thanks for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Dave Moore, who is a missionary musician. How are you, Dave?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm excited to learn what a missionary musician is. You're also the music minister at St. Thomas More and St. John the Baptist in Corpus Christi. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. I started 10 years ago doing music ministry. I started at St. Paul's in Flower Bluff, and then Father Tomash, who used to be at St. Pius, my home parish, when he took over at St. Thomas More, he brought me on there, and I've been at St. Thomas More for about 7 years, 6 years actually, and then St. John the Baptist, my wife and I have been there for about a year and a half now.
Now, you recently got married, is that right?
I did, June the 1st of last year. Thank you so much.
So you celebrated your one-year anniversary.
We sure did.
Okay.
It was actually something new for the both of us. We were playing a conference in Orlando, Florida, and just so happened that Disney World is in Orlando, so I was able to take her there, which was a treat for both of us. Yes.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, can you just share with me a little bit about yourself, how you got involved in music ministry, and how it's just really inspired you and all those around you?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, I started going to First Friday Adorations, actually at Our Lady of Corpus Christi. A man by the name of Vic Benish would lead the music for it. And I would always look up to Vic and his band, and Heath Garcia was another person who was in that band at the time. And I wanted to play guitar, and my mom asked Vic and another man, T.J. Thomason, to help teach me. And so I would bring my guitar to Mass and strum along behind him. And one day, T.J. kind of pushed me a little bit more into a leadership role out at St. Paul's in Flower Bluff. And that role ended up becoming 7 years of my life there, leading the 6 p.m. Mass. I grew actually from just myself to, she was my girlfriend at the time, now my wife Lauren. She came along a few years into it, and yeah, we started off there, and I guess I kind of started at an early age. I was 14, and in 2008, I went to a National Worship Leader Conference where somebody posed the question to me what I saw in my future. And he had mentioned that I could not serve two masters. I couldn't be doing music ministry and trying to be big in the secular market, and that I needed to choose which route I kind of wanted to go and where I was called. And so Lauren, my wife, was at that conference with me, and we both kind of were just agreed that the Lord was calling us to serve the church with our music, and we made a commitment at that point. And by the grace of God, we've had lots of mentors and people to look up to on that road, which has been great.
Well, now you say you use the words missionary musician. So what do you mean by that?
So we travel quite a bit. We're going to be in Uganda next summer. We'll be in India. We'll go into some of the actually, I guess I should start by saying I work with Adore Ministries based out of Houston, and their goal is to serve the unserved. And whether that's by going into some of the poor cities around the country and just praying with kids and singing songs of joy and just happiness and trying to spread the great news of the gospel with people who otherwise would not know Christ.
Where has that taken you so far?
Well, we've been in, I mean, just this summer alone, we've been in about 10 different states doing that. We were in the inner city in Los Angeles this summer, Washington, D.C., New York, quite a few places, actually. And each place is different. You know, in the Fifth Ward in Houston, you know, it might start off by playing basketball with the kids. And then next thing you know, you bring out a guitar and they ask, "Oh, where'd you learn to play?" "Oh, I play in church. I'm Catholic and I study the liturgy, and this is kind of the beauty of the Catholic Church. And have you ever heard of Catholicism before, or do you know about Jesus?" And just kind of start basic questions and answering in certain ways wherever the kids are at or whatever. So it kind of is a large description to say missionary musician, but I guess it's just somebody who has a heart for serving those wherever God leads me. And I guess this last year I kind of had to develop a form of a mission statement per se, because it's very easy to get lost in service and kind of find that you lose yourself after a while from going and going. And that mission statement is to create an atmosphere with our music that leaves people's hearts more vulnerable to Christ. And so whether that's in a cathedral in New Jersey, or whether that's on the side of a basketball court in Houston, we can sing songs and pray with people. And that's kind of the description of the missionary musician.
Well, I love that mission statement. And you know, this is the first time that I've heard of the words missionary musician. And I do notice that you're all over the place. And that's good that you're helping those that are underserved, because who else is going to be there? And that's what Christ is asking us to do. Have you had any stories where someone just listened to some music that you were leading them in either worship or praise, and they've had a conversion?
I don't know necessarily if a full-on conversion took place, but definitely several times through music, people's hearts were stirred, and it led to a conversation. And and that conversation leads into another conversation. And that's one of the things we try and, to the best of our abilities, leave open for people when we go to a specific place, to make sure that they have access to our email. They can email us questions, they can follow up, and we try and answer those questions as best as possible, and also have friends and other people in ministry that can also be somebody who particularly can pick up more and more of those questions. And I guess that's the goal of a ministry is, you know, and we have that support with the door in Houston, to where if we need to have somebody answer a specific topic or something, we have a broad amount of people.
So in your ministry, you don't just sing a tune about Jesus and leave people. You actually can offer a follow-up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, and there's follow-up, and I have kind of two sides to what I do. I was actually in Western Pennsylvania studying chant with the Benedictine monks at St. Vincent's this past week, and there's beauty to the sacred music, and I study that. And a lot of times people will come up and ask about liturgical music, and I love to be able to talk about that. But then also the overflow of music that comes outside of Mass, my time where I'm praying during the week, there's just these myriad of songs that just the Lord kind of puts on my heart. And I love crafting the art of songwriting, but in a lot of ways, the Holy Spirit kind of allows us to receive songs in prayer. And so I kind of can consider in certain times being a song receiver. And when I kind of receive a word or a phrase in my heart and it becomes a song, being able to share that with people, they usually want to know where it comes from. And then when they ask where it comes from, I can share my testimony and then meet them where they're at and try and guide them back to the sacraments, to the Mass, just a basic knowledge or relationship with Jesus, depending on where they're at. But
So when people listen to you, they want more.
Yeah.
Well, and they're listening to that stirring in their hearts.
Sure.
Based on the message that you're giving them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think the most important thing too, you know, in ministry, it's really hard sometimes. At the end of the day, in ministry, it's very easy for a minister to somewhat find their identity in ministry itself and to forget that our identity is actually in Christ. And that's been a struggle for me this year. And it's very easy in the go and the hustle and the bustle and then from one place to the next place to forget about relationships. And basically the reason I bring that up is the one thing that keeps coming to mind in ministry for this year is the fact that Christ wants us more than he wants to use us. And as I've had to dig deeper into a prayer life, I've noticed in doing ministry that it brings me into deeper relationships where I can actually share that with people. And they kind of enter into this conversation. And then this whole conversation starts, and it's usually around a meal. In Pennsylvania, it's Italian food. And boy, the Italians keep one course after the other and the other.
It never stops.
And
keeps on coming.
That's a lot of food and a lot of talking about God.
Yeah. Yes.
It really does happen like that. And so I guess music at the end of the day is just kind of a vessel to start that conversation. And I know it can stir people's hearts. But at the end, after creating that atmosphere, it leads either into relationship I guess what I'm trying to say is that from the stirring of that heart, we hope it leads them into a deeper longing to enter into a relationship with Christ.
Stay with us. We'll be back with Dave Moore, our missionary musician.
This is Labors of Love.
Holy smoked barbecue? Of course, because it's prepared by volunteers at St. Pius X Church on Galahar near Airline. Sunday, August 24th from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., they'll be serving some of the most delectable brisket and sausage dinners around, complete with potato salad and pinto beans. And for a touch of class, you'll even get after-dinner mints. And they'll deliver if you order 10 or more Holy Smoke Barbecue dinners. While you're there, take a tour of their beautiful gardens. For complete information, call Paul, 361-991-8839.
And welcome back. We are here with Dave Moore, our missionary musician. It's been a pleasure having this conversation with you and learning more about how you've been inspired to lead others, especially those that are not served like you and I are served. I want to know what is coming up in your near future.
Oh, wow. Well, we've got a few more conferences before the year's up, and particularly in about a week and a half, I've got a few guys coming in from Nashville, and we're going to be recording, I guess you would call it the new single song that we've been playing a lot this year, and it's called Speak to Me.
What is Speak to Me about?
Speak to Me actually is almost a prayer. I went into the Adoration Chapel one day, and I felt very disconnected. And I had been doing lots of ministry work and been praying my heart out on my travels. But this one night I went in and just felt extremely disconnected from God. And in my prayer time, I realized that bad habits in my life were causing me to build walls. And in that time in adoration, God broke down a lot of those walls for me. And so the chorus of the song, I will be still, I'll be silent, I'll let go, I will be patient, just still my heart, my mind, so I can hear your voice. And basically, it's a song asking God to reveal himself to us in a way that he has not before, whether that's because we were closed-minded or whatever. And it's been a song that's been on my heart And I've been singing it behind closed doors and in the open for about a year now, and it's time to record it. So that's the next big project.
Well, congratulations. I look forward to that single. And I do want to play a song for our listeners called Promised Land.
Yeah. Yeah, Promised Land's great. We, in Promised Land, we're talking about roaming around the world, you know, just doing all these things and realizing that this world is not our home and we're seeking something greater and that we find our home in Jesus. And it's kind of a song that a buddy of mine and I, we sat down and this is just something that was kind of all in our hearts, that our home is in Jesus, and we got to remember that with all the things that we're doing. So I hope you like it.
I hope you all enjoy Promised Land by Dave Moore.
All around this world I roam, but I know it's not my home. I'm just passing through. When this world has slipped away, you won't find me in the grave. On that day, I'll be made new. 'Cause I found my home in Jesus, and He walks with me hand in hand. And though this path I trod be full of sorrow, He will lead me to the promised land. Yes, He'll lead. For me, when I'm down, He's there with me. He knows my pain and strife. And on the cross, He bore my shame, washed my sin, and cleared my name. His death brought me new life. 'Cause I found
a beautiful song, Dave. I'd really like to know what your inspiration was for Promised Land. I heard renewal. I heard crying out to Jesus. So what was the song about, and what do you hope our listeners heard?
Yeah. You know, there's, I don't know if you remember as a child, having a meal with the family, and maybe somebody said, "Hey, keep your fork. There's something better yet to come." You know, maybe it's a deep dish apple pie, whatever it is.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we were on the road and just remembering that there is something so much greater, and that is a life with God, and that's what we're striving for. And so, you know, all around this world I roam, symbolizing all the travels and just like seeking to serve and be Christ's hands and feet, and realizing that this isn't the stopping point, that we got to save our forks. There's something better yet to come, and that is a life with God. And the bridge, help us on our way. Just really realizing how much God gives opportunity and anoints and blesses imperfect people to run all these different ministries and the church, and yet He loves us through it all, and is constantly like just giving us His grace and just crying out to Him and saying, "Lord, help us on our way." It just was kind of a joint effort from the entire group saying, "God, just help us.
Be with us.
Be with us. Stay with us, Lord." And so, it's a song about renewal and just asking for God to continue in our lives, which He will.
Well, again, that was a beautiful song. And that is from your record, The Return.
Yes. Yeah. That is my first full-length record after my first band, The Glorious State, broke up. And we now, on the website, which is davemoremusic.com, we're actually putting all the records up there and a brief description about them. So,
now, Dave, when you look back, hopefully many decades from now, and look at your music and the inspiration that you've received from our Lord, what do you hope people will say about your music?
That He loved unconditionally, and that He really wrote based off of His relationships with the vertical and the horizontal, the relationship with God and the relationship with man. And that's our goal, is to create that atmosphere. And to be able to create that atmosphere, we have to continue to invoke the Spirit of God, and to also develop relationships with people.
And people can be inspired the way you're inspired with music. They can be inspired with any of the God-given talents they've been given.
Yeah, absolutely. It starts with just prayer, and it starts with just being alone with God, and He places these songs on our hearts. And whether or not they're ever meant to be on the radio or not, they're special, and that makes God smile, I think. So,
thank you so much for being with us. I look forward to all the other inspired songs that you have to give us. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte with Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org, or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
All of us at one time or another experience a moment in life in which time itself seems to stand still, when the pulse of the world around us is suspended, and it seems as though the breath of life has been silenced, even if only for a heartbeat. At such moments, we are stunned or awestricken. In these moments, we see things differently, in a new way, and with new understanding. It could be the moment when a snowflake lands in your gloved hand, and for the first time you see its delicate shape, even as it begins to melt. Maybe it was the moment you first held a newborn baby and wondered who or what the child would become. Or it might be that moment when you come face to face with your own mortality through some imminent encounter with death, an experience or diagnosis that makes death real and near. If we are open to them, these are sacred moments that offer insights into a deeper wisdom that transcends what is worldly. These insights radically prepare us for a knowledge that will forever alter our life, our personality, and even our future. Genesis gives us such an example in the life of Isaac. Of course, we know Isaac is the son of Abraham and Sarah, miraculously born well after his parents' childbearing years. Born in laughter, Isaac is to be tragically offered as a sacrifice by his father. What did he see and think when he was under the knife? How did it affect him? Knowing what we know of Abraham and Sarah, we might expect great things from Isaac, yet he never seemed to meet those expectations. He won no battles, had no negotiations with kings or pharaohs, and there is no evidence of public greatness. Later generations of Jews looked at him as little more than a link between Abraham and Jacob. Perhaps they failed to fully appreciate one of the most definitive sacred moments in Isaac's life. The next time we read about Isaac, he's walking in the fields meditating. From a distance, Rebekah, seeing Isaac for the first time, asks the servant who the man in the field is and learns that it is Isaac, the man she has come to marry. Since his time under the knife, Isaac has become a person of great reflection and meditation, thinking about life and what is important. We know this because he takes Rebekah to his tent, marries her, and as the scripture states, he loved her. In all of scripture, the only other couple reported to have such a love is Joseph and Rachel. Isaac has reflected upon life and discovered that what is important is to love and to care for one another. His experience under the knife shaped him to see beyond the surface and to ponder the depths of human existence. It is from there that he arrived at love, a love so tender and caring that his love for Rebekah represents the fullest expression of mature intimacy in the Old Testament. When our life seems to stand still, perhaps we'd be better served to follow Isaac's lead and reflect upon what really and truly matters in this life. We must choose our reactions well and seek the depth of insight that God offers in those sacred moments. May God's love for us lead each of us to that same mature love for one another that Isaac held not only for Rebekah, but even for those around him. And may your sacred moment fill you with appreciation for God's love. Amen.
A big thank you to our missionary musician, Dave Moore. If you would like to know more about Dave Moore or you would like to book him, please visit davemooremusic.com. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.